Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity. I'm Greg Corumbus. And Jim, it's been a long time since we were on the first Friday of a month and actually saw job numbers that actually made us pretty excited. We still have, obviously, a lot of people who aren't part of the pool of people looking for work now, so the numbers are still distorted pretty extensively. But the fact is, 216,000 jobs were created in the month of March. The unemployment rate is at 8.8%. Obviously, that's pretty stinking bad, but it's at least headed in the right direction compared to where it was in recent months. So while there's still a lot of work to be done and certainly a lot of policy changes that would help bring it in the right direction, you got to be at least excited that it's mildly heading in the right direction.
Yeah, it's kind of something that we are actually celebrating 8.8% unemployment.
Right.
It shows how bad things have been and how long they've been bad that we're actually saying 216,000 jobs created. That's fantastic, you know. And by the standard of pretty much since fall of 2008, it is fantastic. But objectively, looking over the longer haul, that's modestly good. It's nowhere near what you're used to expecting after a recession. And it's kind of interesting. You looked at the chart of how the administration projected unemployment was going to go with the stimulus and without the stimulus. And we all remember how, you know, the unemployment has remained much higher than it was supposed to be.
Right.
It was supposed to peak at 8% if they passed the stimulus. Without the stimulus, they projected this long and protracted, high, slowly reducing curve. And that's actually what we're seeing, even though they passed the magic stimulus that did so much good. So those of us who look at the stimulus and say, wow, that completely failed. It didn't keep unemployment low. All of the, you know, much of the created or saved jobs numbers are nonsense and you know, playing with the math. It's interesting to hear some conservatives saying Obama is going to be in much better shape because we're actually seeing the unemployment rate, you know, shrink. There were, you know, like we said, 8.8%, we're doing little dances. Note that he's doing this with 4 million fewer workers than we had in the end of 2008. These are people who have left the job market, people who are no longer looking. Now, you and I have been saying, oh, when these people start looking again, you'll see the unemployment rate jump up again because they won't be in this discouraged worker category. Now I think we're starting to wonder, maybe these people aren't coming back. Maybe they have, you know, retired. Maybe they have, you know, decided to become single-income families. Maybe they've, you know, just become slackers sitting on their couch. You know, I don't know what's going on with some of these people. My suspicion is that, you know, maybe I sarcastically said this early in the Obama administration. Maybe it's like being very prescient about this. The Obama administration has effectively done away with 4 million unemployed workers. That brought the unemployment rate down. They're gone. They've disappeared. Abducted by aliens. They're out of here. Whatever it is, they're not some people we have to worry about anymore. They're gone. Put them out of your mind, America.
That's exactly right. And I think if our nation bands together, comes together, works as a team, one day we will create enough jobs in a month to offset the number of people actually trying to join the workforce. That's a dream we can all share, America. Let's push
Greg,
forward.
That's what the death panels are for. They're going to kind of cull the herd a little bit. And, you know, it's an old Saddam Hussein saying, if there is no person, there is no problem. So there you go. It's kind of a – you've heard of liquidation in business. This is a form of liquidating our workforce to have to literally liquefy them and not have to deal with them anymore and make the president look a lot better.
That's the good martini, folks. That's the good martini.
That's the good martini. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
On to the bad martini now. And, well – once again, Libya is front and center on this one. And Jim, yesterday we were talking about how the rebels were in retreat. They were disorganized. The president signed this seemingly covert order, which obviously wasn't very covert, to have the CIA assist the rebels. Now we find out that just when Gaddafi's inner circle seems to be crumbling, a lot of his closest advisors have reached the breaking point. The rebels want a ceasefire. Not good.
Yeah, very much not good, and it's very odd seeing that Musa Kusa or I don't know if it's Musa Kusa or Kusa Musa.
I think it's the first one.
One of them is the foreign minister of Libya, and the other one was the second in command of the Gungans in Star Wars: Phantom Menace. But this figure has defected at a moment that it seems like Gaddafi's forces are on the attack and advancing and retaking territory. So this may be one of those rare moments in history where both sides are convinced that they're losing this war. Nonetheless, though, you saw the news yesterday that the NATO was telling the rebels that if you attack civilians or if you cause civilian casualties, you will get bombed too, making us the first outside force to improve a war situation and save civilians by bombing both sides. This seems a little bit like the, you know, I don't care who started this fight, separate, you know, the parenting school of military conflict management. again, troubling, getting the sense that the administration isn't quite sure what they want to do. Gates' statement yesterday certainly sounded ominous, indicating that he's about, if Obama wants to send ground troops, that Gates will be ready to depart. So, you know, I just get the feeling that probably for the remainder of next week and beyond that, we can just keep Libya in this number two slot, Greg, that it's just going to be the bad martini from here on out, unless something very dramatic happens.
Isn't Gates planning to leave in the next few months anyway? So couldn't he pretty much say that in response to everything? Hey, if you do that, I'm leaving. If you don't do that,
that's it. I'm out of here.
I'm leaving. When in fact he's going to be leaving regardless of what happens. So
it may be, but on the other hand, it just seems like usually from the overall context of Gates' comments, you get the feeling he's no fan of this military this kinetic military operation, to use the official buzzword. Then he's not a fan of this in general, and you get the feeling he's got some serious misgivings, and it's probably a concern when the U.S. is engaged in a military action that the Secretary of Defense thinks is a bad idea. I guess you could say this is the advantage of having a team of rivals as your cabinet and having a lot of different viewpoints. Every once in a while, though, I kind of wonder if the president could use a team of, you know, allies.
That would help. That would probably help from time to time. On to our third and final martini of the day now, Jim. And, you know, we talked about Bob Gates. He's a Republican who worked, obviously, for President Bush, worked for President Obama, a guy who can actually, you know, get along for the most part with the Democratic president. President, we have criticized so many different times in so many different ways on this program. But as we look at the circumstances and look at the less than enthralling Republican field, you and I have kind of reached a very similar and very surprising, I think, to a lot of people decision, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm ready to announce it. Look, I mean, I had said this, you know, in a joking way when Republicans retook the House that I thought Obama was perhaps the greatest president in American history just for what he's done for the Republicans. But no, I'm coming around. I'm willing to endorse Obama if you are, Greg.
Absolutely. I think just the fact that, like we said before, the numbers are coming down below 9% on unemployment. He is only into his third Middle East country now, but I think he'll be able to hit 5 or at least 7 by the time Election Day rolls around. And, you know, this is a guy who's clearly going to make his mark in so many different areas. Why stop it now?
Amen. Amen. I'm just proud of being able to, he was able to reduce the unemployment from the 6% to the 8.8% it is now. I just kind of feel like the you can look all around the real estate markets and the fact that Americans are finally free of their dependency on domestic oil and in fact paying a mere $4 to $5 a gallon. That just kind of looks at me as this is the hope and change we can believe in. You know, he was the one we were waiting for.
Absolutely. I think if you think we're alone on this, we're not. Surprisingly, a very influential group of Republicans is also endorsing the president for 2012. Here's a new ad from the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
Today, we celebrate a president that brought Americans together. Celebrate an end to our dependence on American energy.
The oil you recently discovered off the shores of Brazil, we want to be one of your best customers.
A president with the courage to tell us,
we will not rest.
I will not rest.
We will not rest.
Who consults with key decision makers.
The CEO of BP, I have not spoken to him directly.
To tackle the great challenges of our generation.
And I'm picking Kansas. I think that Kansas has more firepower.
And devised a breakthrough method to honor his promise.
To cut the deficit by half by the end of my first term in office.
Spend more.
We got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
President Obama, 4 more years.
And in case you couldn't tell, there was a unicorn that Obama was riding over a rainbow there. Clearly, this is an ad that is an April Fool's joke, as has this third martini, Ben, as we have been basically unable to come up with anything that would actually be a valid defense for a second Obama term. We had basically had to spin everything exactly as it is and try to make it sound good.
Surprisingly easy, wasn't it, Greg?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I'm already feeling more respected by the by folks in Washington already. I feel like I'm growing in office. I'm maturing. I'm already getting notes of nice job from various other from David Brooks and such. So now that look, it took me a while to recognize the value of the crease in his pants leg that just kind of makes you say, all right, he's got it all together. We're in good hands, Greg.
Absolutely right. It's hard to do that with a straight face. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We'll see you Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.